Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. I'm Ron Edwards, and this is the Ron program coming to you from the Twin Cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul. Normally we open with some kind of music, but our technical people must not have been on top of their game. We welcome you again to the Ron and Don program, coming to you, as we said before, from the Twin Cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul. We have a continued follow-up program tonight on a story we first brought to you a week ago. A story that was also published in the Minneapolis Star Tribune a week ago, January 10th, on the death of an African-American, a 56-year-old African-American, by the name of George Edward Washington, 56 years old, of Wilmer, Minnesota. Wilmer is about there, 70 miles or thereabouts, west of the Twin Cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul. It is a 99% white county with a 100% white law enforcement contingency, Wilmer City Police and the Kandy, Ojai Sheriff's Department, which has a reputation. Both entities have reputations of being extremely tough and hard on African-Americans and Native Americans who, by chance, pass through their county and their city. Last week, we reported to you a series of reflections pertaining to the events leading up to the death of Mr. Washington. The sheriff of Kandy, Ojai County, who has a reputation as the tough man coming on the... In fact, he styles himself like Rod Steiger in the movie. Not the cinema, if you will, but the movie In the Heat of the Night. Tough, hard-nosed sheriff who lets Native Americans and blacks know and understand that they're really not wanted in his county. Over the years, there has been one or two or three African-Americans who have resided, as did Mr. Washington prior to his death, while in the custody of the Sheriff's Department in the city of Wilmer, which is in western Minnesota. Last week, when we talked to you about the circumstances of his death, no one was in a position to respond one way or the other to the statements by the sheriff. Again, in the January 10th edition of the Minneapolis Star Tribune, which was interesting, that there was nothing suspicious in nature about the death. Nothing suspicious in nature about the death. That in itself was interesting. That raised questions about, well, what were the circumstances? But then the sheriff in that same article indicated that when the autopsy was done, that his department, which would be investigating themselves, and by the way, every attempt was made, as we pointed out on last week's program, to get the FBI, Department of Justice, the state of Minnesota, its Bureau of Criminal Apprehension, involved, asking for an immediate investigation and examination. It appears, according to some sources, that some way or another, the sheriff's office was able to pressure some members of the family to not rock the boat, if you will. And the reason we say that is because of events that have taken place in the 7 days since we first reported this story on both this radio program and in our newspaper column in the only and African-American paper here in the state of Minnesota. And so today we had an opportunity to speak for the second time with the brother of George Edward Washington, Joseph Washington of North Carolina. The Washington family and the two brothers, George and Joseph, were extremely close. Joseph Washington, since we last spoke to you on the air a week ago, has raised some very serious questions with any number of individuals about the circumstances that led to the death of his brother while in police custody in Wilmer, Minnesota, in the Canby, Ohio jail. We first reported to you a week ago that one of the things that was disturbing about the sheriff's department there, and we know that there has been a history, quote-unquote, of brutality from the sheriff's department in Canby, Ohio County, of African Americans and Native Americans who make the mistake of coming down Highway 12, Highway 21, which intersect in Wilmer, been more than a acceptable number of incidents in which Native Americans and African Americans have disappeared over the last 20 years or so with regards to Wilmer. The position, the philosophy, if that's what you want to call it, in this state, is that towns like Wilmer, if you will, Marshall, Minnesota, and others, are cities, towns which you do not question if, in fact, a person of color comes up missing. For years, there has been an attempt by some segments, notice we said some segments of the civil rights community, to insist and encourage the state, the key word probably is encourage, the state of Minnesota, to investigate some of these disappearances or some of these mysterious deaths, because in many respects, Minnesota is no different than the state of Mississippi or Alabama or places like that, where African Americans have been known to either be found later in rivers, shallow graves, and etc. But the position here has been is that Minnesota is a good white liberal state and that we look after all our citizens, including the coloreds, if you will. In fact, this is one of the statements that the good sheriff of Canby, Ohio County made off the record to a reporter for the Minneapolis Star Tribune. Last week, we also talked in terms of the information that had been imparted to the family of Mr. Washington. That was, he was arrested on suspicion. And that term, by the way, is used in the article of January 10th in the Minneapolis Star Tribune on suspicion of DUI. Now, the reason that that becomes significant is that during the course of inquiry on both Sunday and Monday of January 7th, and 8th, January 7th and 8th of 2018, the sheriff was telling those in the civil rights community who were making inquiries on the condition of Mr. Washington, and then later were informed that Mr. Washington was deceased, and then the sheriff's department told members of his family that he was not deceased, and then finally a member of his family traveled directly to Wilmer, Minnesota, at about 9:15 on that Sunday evening, p.m., Central Standard Time, and confronted a deputy at the desk at the Canby, Ohio County Jail. When the deputy realized that the person making the inquiry was aware that initially they personally had been told by a sheriff's deputy that was sent to their home in a town called Marshall, Minnesota, which is about 70 miles south of Wilmer in southwestern Minnesota, that the sheriff's department in Canby, Ohio County wanted this particular person to call them because there was a situation. That was the basic statement. Of course, when the person called around 4 o'clock, according to their statements to this commentator, they were told that Mr. Washington had died. In the paper, 2 days later, the sheriff made an interesting statement, even though he maintained that the autopsy was completed, which was interesting, because in conversations with the entity that that conducted an alleged autopsy, and by the way, most of the counties here in the state of Minnesota, as it is in many states, does not have an independent medical examiner, and so normally you have the larger counties with large cities which will do the medical examination. The body is normally transported, or bodies are transported here in Minnesota. It's an example. We basically have four medical examiner's offices in counties of significant size with large municipalities. Hennepin County, Minneapolis, Ramsey County, and keep that name in mind, Ramsey County in St. Paul, St. Louis County, county seat Duluth, if you will, and Olmsted County, where the city, world-renowned, home of the Mayo Clinic, in Rochester, Minnesota. After that, there is an organization, and this is important, keep this in mind, because it's all a part of the cover-up that has taken place in the matter of the beating to death of George Edward Washington, the 56-year-old African-American, a resident for about a year of the city of Wilmer. The Midwest Medical Examiners Association is, quote-unquote, that entity that basically takes on autopsies in situations in which the counties decide that they are not going to ask the larger medical examiner offices in the four counties that we named. This is important to understand because some peculiarities, as we first reported last Wednesday evening in an exclusive broadcast on the death of George Edward Washington, that it was peculiar the way that his body was handled. And by the way, let me say clearly and concisely that all kinds of laws and ordinances and et cetera were violated in the transporting to Washington's body. It started that Sunday night as his body was removed to an undertaker. That was the Anderson Funeral Home in Wilmer, Minnesota. The reason that we know, as we first reported a week ago, we talked directly to representatives of Anderson's Funeral Home in Wilmer, Minnesota. Not quite sure who they were talking to. They divulged certain information that we think is now crucial for the family of Mr. Washington, and particularly his brother, Joseph Washington of North Carolina. We were told that Mr. Washington's body was already in the process of being transported. This would have been around 9:45 on Sunday evening, the 7th of January. We questioned on where the body was being transferred to. We were already aware, as an outgrowth of conversations around 4:30 in the afternoon on Sunday the 7th, that the body was going to be taken to Ramsey County, in which the city of St. Paul is the county seat. This was a very clever move, because the Midwest Medical Examiners Association is in a small city called Ramsey, but Ramsey is in Anoka County. Anoka County is to the north and adjacent to Ramsey County, but it is clearly not the Ramsey County Medical Examiner. All of this, my friends, becomes crucial in what is clearly a cover-up of the beating death at the hands of law enforcement in the jail in Kandy, Ojai County, Minnesota. The confusion continued when officials of the Kandy, Ojai Sheriff's Department told members as well as friends and loved ones making inquiry about the condition and the status, that is most important legally, the status of George Edward Washington. As we said earlier in this broadcast, people were told that Mr. Washington was alive and well. Mr. Washington had been dead since at least officially when medical personnel were rushed to the county jail to attempt to revive him, if you will. So it was interesting the need for misinformation and disinformation by the county sheriff, if you will. The Anderson Funeral Home really did not want to be a part, and we have examined that over the last week as we have carried out our own investigation with regards to another death of another African-American while in custody in a white county and a white jail, if you will. Contrary to what people like to pretend to believe, you know, this is Little Mississippi here in Minnesota. Now, back to the night of Sunday, January 7th. If you will. The body, according to Anderson's funeral home, had already began its drive down, which is, as we said, about 70 miles to the east. In fact, actually, it would be about 85 miles because they would go through, cross the Mississippi River into downtown St. Paul. So we were made aware that the body was now being transferred. What then happened, calls to the Ramsey County medical examiner came back that they didn't know what folks were talking about. There was no George Edward Washington from Wilmer, Minnesota, anywhere in their facility. Then we took a look at the phone number that had actually been given to some folks where Mr. Washington's body was, and that area code was in Anoka County. Now the mystery began to heighten. By early Monday morning, the 8th of January, Mr. Washington's body had finally been located at the Midwest Medical Examiners Association's facility. In a conversation on Monday afternoon, in which this commentator / investigative reporter listened in on, the personnel there identified a couple of things, including, per my recommendations and et cetera, they asked for the name of the individuals who brought the body from Wilmer to Ramsey, Minnesota in Anoka County, and the name of the person who signed for the transfer of the body. That information is on tape. Members of the family at that point, encouraged by this investigative reporter and commentator, to record the conversation. By this time, and by 1 or 2 o'clock on the afternoon of the 8th of January, some 36 or more hours after the death of Mr. Washington, and let's go back a tad. One of the things that members of the family maintained that they were told, and this was in the article in the Minneapolis Star Tribune of January 10th, 2018, is that Mr. Washington, and we said to you on last week's program, that this specific term has been used before when African-Americans have met, quote-unquote, a deadly fate here in Minnesota, particularly in some of these county jails, particularly in the western and northern part of the state. The sheriff said that Mr. Washington was acting crazy. And we, as African-Americans, know from experience, quote-unquote, in our relationships, unfortunately, with law enforcement, that is clearly an indication of, quote-unquote, a crazy Negro, if you will, which normally leads to some kind of action. In this case, the action was, according to the sheriff, if you will, Sheriff Hartong, is that they decided they would do a suicide watch, if you will. Now, this was absolutely confirmed to me on Sunday the 7th and again on early Monday the 8th before the sheriff's office and the county attorney encouraged members of the family to break off discussion with myself and another civil rights activist by the name of Angela Edwards. No relation now. I want to understand that we are not related, but we have been friends and have worked together on civil rights matters for the last 20-some years. We were basically told that any information that dealt with what had happened and what was happening with Mr. Washington was to be taken down. That information had been posted. NAACP and other civil rights organizations were being asked to step forward, and then suddenly some members of the family insisted that civil rights activists as well as Edwards and myself stand down, if you will. My question to the family at that particular time was that that was a bad move. We had also acquired the services of one of only two black morticians here in the state of Minnesota, a funeral home called the Brooks Funeral Home, which has been in business since 1941. The Brooks Funeral Home was told by members of the family at that time that their assistance, and the funeral home is run by Miss Margaret Brooks, if you will, that her assistance and expertise was not needed, that they had everything under control. And so discussions broke off. It was not until we were called yesterday by Mr. Joseph Washington, the brother of George Edward Washington, that the rest of the narrative was put together, including the condition George Edward Washington, which was finally viewed by members of his family, including one of his sisters, as I clearly understand and have been told by Joseph Washington, is a nurse, if you will. And Mr. Washington had serious bruising and other circumstances, physical circumstances, which would clearly indicate a person who had been beaten to death. Now, I am aware in the roles that I have been involved in and the roles that I play here in the state of Minnesota and have been involved in many investigations, unfortunately, in the deaths of African Americans, male and female, is that it is not unusual. Now, Mr. Washington was a small statured man, about 5'7", about 130 pounds, and yet the wounds, as I understand it, from Joseph Washington, who has made preparation, and in fact, as we speak, the body is being transported by air to North Carolina, where Joseph Washington has had to make preparations to have his brother's body examined 1,500 miles from the state of Minnesota. That's how this conspiracy, how elaborate conspiracy to hide another death of another African-American while in custody in an all-white county and an all-white law enforcement entity. The governor's office was begged by civil rights activists, if you will, specifically by Angela Edwards, to initiate an investigation of the death of George Edward Washington, whose body now is on its way and maybe has already arrived as of this broadcast, with his brother incurring costs that will run as much as $10,000, my friends, to bring his body home. Edward Washington is a native of Sumter, South Carolina. And he will be laid to rest in a black cemetery next to his mother and father. That is how we operate here in Minnesota. They kill him and then cover it up. This sheriff in Canby, Ohio County, has a reputation. Doesn't want darkies and niggers in his county. And the Wilmer Police Department doesn't want them in their town. As we said, the population racially of Canby, Ohio County, is about 99% white, if you will. But there is an interesting witness tonight that the sheriff is doing everything that he can and has encouraged some anonymous people to threaten this witness with serious violence. This woman was present, and this is an exclusive for those that are of concern, present on the night that George Edward Washington was arrested for. And this is in the article, by the way, and this was also conveyed to me on the evening of January 7th, 2018. Everything was a suspicion. And we take you back now to the copyrighted article in the Minneapolis Star Tribune, the big white newspaper, in which the sheriff indicated that there was nothing that seemed suspicious in the nature about the death. But here's the thing. This white woman, who was a friend of Mr. Washington's, went to the jail in Wilma, Minnesota, at around 12:05. She was told that Mr. Washington was alive and well, but that she would not be able to see him, but that she could talk to him by internal telephone. Initially, she couldn't get through. They then gave her a code number. See, they don't think that we know this and are now making this known to the world. She punched in the code. Nothing happened. Sheriff's deputies told her that there was some kind of technical problem. And then as she was there, this Caucasian woman, this white woman, a friend of Mr. Washington, who had lived in Wilma for about a year before his life was taken, life was beaten out of him by sheriff's deputies. She was told that they would eventually produce Mr. Washington, and then as they were talking, paramedics arrived. This was at approximately 12:35 p.m. Central Standard Time in Wilmer, Minnesota. Now, later that day, around 4 o'clock, the Sheriff's Department in Wilmer called the Sheriff's Department in Blaine County, which is where Marshall, Minnesota, is located, and told a member of the family that the member needed to call them back in Wilmer because there had been a situation. Now, the time that was given by the good sheriff, they found Mr. Washington unresponsive in his cell. This is not something that we're making up here as black folks in Minnesota talking about events in western Minnesota. These are white folks writing this story. This is the white sheriff, a tough white man, a white man who indicates that he knows how to handle the Negro problem, if you will. The sheriff, the same sheriff that said there was nothing suspicious in the nature about the death. And yet relatives and et cetera who have seen the body of Mr. Washington, which had to be sent to North Carolina to ultimately be buried in South Carolina, but there will be a medical examination. His brother, Joseph, has taken on the responsibility and has incurred a cost of $10,000 out of his pocket. This is a hard-working black man. He doesn't necessarily have $10,000 to have a medical examination. Oh, by the way, The sheriff even already knew what the cause of death was going to be, because after he became aware that some members of the family were saying that Mr. Washington had a enlarged heart, the sheriff and his quote-unquote henchmen put out the word that the Negro had died of a heart attack, if you will. I don't know if he did or not. In fact, at this point, as we speak, as Mr. Washington's body is being transported by air to Carolina to ultimately be taken to the ancestral burial ground of his people, of his mother and father and others in Sumter, South Carolina, we still do not have, the family does not have, the incident report of all things that happened prior to him dying, if you will, nor, though the sheriff said, as soon as I get the autopsy report, he said this, he was interviewed on the 9th day of January, this powerful sheriff, this man who says he knows how to handle the nigger problem in and around Wilmer, Minnesota, said that when the autopsy is completed, we will release, this is he, the sheriff, if you will, a man of the true tradition of Bilbo, if you will, and Bull Connor and others. Well, Sheriff, you had the autopsy results. Your buddies at the Midwest Medical Examiners Association in Ramsey, Minnesota, which is in Anoka County, not to be confused with the Ramsey County Medical Examiner, who is located in St. Paul, Minnesota, which, by the way, is the state capital, where the Bureau of Criminal Apprehension and others know all about the mysterious deaths of African Americans and Native Americans here in the state of Minnesota. Been going on for a long time. It's really not healthy to be in some of the counties of western and northern Minnesota, if you will. Things happen to you. But let's get back to the sheriff. Let's get back to the events of the 8th, the 7th and the 8th of January, if you will. Body is taken to the Anderson Funeral Home in Wilmer, Minnesota, just a short distance from the sheriff's jail. Then is transported to Anoka County, to a small township called Ramsey, Minnesota. And there by Wednesday, according to relatives and et cetera, the medical examiners there say, well, he looks like he died of a heart attack. Looks like his heart exploded, if you will. But yet when the family went to view the body and saw these injuries and et cetera and asked the question, the medical examiners just smiled, if you will. Then ultimately the body was transported to northern Minnesota, in and around the Brainerd area, where a service was held yesterday. And lo and behold, if it had not been for Joseph Washington, the brother of the deceased, there had been an agreement with the sheriff's office. This was amazing. The sheriff's office had encouraged the family to, quote-unquote, cremate the body. The body had already been embalmed without authorization from the family. That is the reason funeral home director Miss Brooks was so crucial at that particular point over a week ago in examining the body before embalmment, if you will. But lo and behold, if it had not been for Joseph Washington, the brother of George Edward Washington, the body would have been cremated, if you will, and the sheriff then would have been able to issue formally to the Minneapolis Star Tribune and to the local newspaper there in Wilmer, Minnesota, that the African-American, the 56-year-old George Edward Washington, had died of natural causes. She had a heart attack in the jail. Also, this is the same facility that on Sunday, when asked for the incident report in regards to the arrest of Mr. Washington earlier on Saturday, if you will, deputies, including allegedly a deputy by the name of Quinn. We don't have that information, but we know that he had an alcohol presence of 2.0. Now, for those of you that study internal medicine and et cetera, if you have an alcohol content of 2.0 in your body, you can't even stand up. You're, in fact, you're unconscious, if you will. Yet the police and incident report and information that is now being provided clearly indicates that Mr. Washington was in no such condition. And even one of his relatives, in, quoted in the newspaper article, said that when they talked to him on late Saturday that he sounded in good spirits, he was okay. But the sheriff told the Wilmer newspaper and later the largest newspaper in the state of Minnesota, the Minneapolis Star Tribune, and that declaration by this tough white sheriff is in print, that George Edward Washington was a crazy acting negro and that they had put him on security and suicide watch. But here's the other story that the good sheriff told, and he will swear to it in a deposition and it'll all be covered up, but he said that they had committed and were conducting a 15-minute review. Every 15 minutes, a white deputy was going into the cell to make sure that George Edward Washington was doing okay, that he was asleep or he was breathing, and et cetera. And then this bogus time of 1:30, which again is not something that we are making up on this program. No, my friends. It is what, quote unquote, was spoken to by the sheriff, by the county attorney, and even by the local newspaper. Crazed Negro. Negro acting crazy. A man that we decided we'd put him on suicide watch. Well, this is not the first time that a black person who allegedly was on a suicide watch has died in that county and in this part of the country, if you will. As I said before, we are, quote unquote, here in Minnesota, as not as racially friendly as the rest of the nation is being led to believe. Ask our Native American brothers about how things work in these rural areas, if you will. But let us now go back, because the sheriff said something else. The sheriff told members of the family and the suspect said, we have cameras in the cell where we had Mr. Washington, so we were able to observe everything. There wasn't any problem. We, this commentator, is quoted in the paper as saying, well, why did you not make available the film? And let me tell you the reason for that declaration by me, because I was well aware, and information had been imparted to me by the family member who went to the Wilmer jail and arrived at around 9:15 p.m. Central Standard Time on that Sunday, the 7th January. That relative asked to talk to their loved one, and they were told that he was okay, and they were saying the same thing to members of the family, that he is okay, he's well, Negro's doing well, don't worry about it, because we've got cameras in the cell. Well, question was posed to the sheriff just a number of hours ago. Sheriff, can we get a copy of the incident report, the autopsy, and can we view the film from the cameras in the cell in which Mr. Washington was allegedly being held, in which, quote-unquote, quietly in his sleep, according to the sheriff, passed from this life. Though they told a number of stories, because they initially told a member of the family at around 4:15, 4:20 p.m. on Sunday, the 7th day of January, that actually they had been able to bring him back. They had been able to revive him, if you will, but his injuries were such. But what injuries? What injuries could he have had? He allegedly had a heart attack. He just went to sleep and never woke up, according to them. Yet the white witness who had gone to the jail at around 12:05 overheard a different conversation. Why was she being told that Mr. Washington would be brought to a phone and be able to talk to her through the jail circuit, if you will? What was the condition? This is a question that I have asked officially and et cetera. What was the condition of Mr. Washington at the time that he was given breakfast that morning? This is like most jails. You have breakfast, lunch, and a light dinner, if you will. Mr. Washington had been in this jail at the time that they confirmed his death, though no one has seen the documents. I'm quite sure after this broadcast, though, that is going out across the world, I'm quite sure that the Kandy, Ohio County Attorney and the big, tough sheriff will come up with the necessary documentation. And because the FBI and the Minnesota Bureau of Criminal Apprehension have declined, have refused to examine the conditions and the circumstances that led to the death of George Edward Washington. Now, it will be interesting what will happen in the next, oh, let's say 36 hours upon the arrival of the body of Mr. Washington in North Carolina, entrusted to his beloved brother. And again, for those of you that maybe just tuned in and et cetera, the reason that that body is in North Carolina, if you will, is because authorities here refuse to do an honest examination of Mr. Washington, which would have allowed a determination of the conditions that led to his death. Mr. Washington didn't die in an automobile accident. He didn't fall down a manhole cover. He didn't fall off the bridge, if you will. He didn't get hit while walking on the side of the highway, the freeway. He didn't choke on a chicken bone or et cetera. He had a heart attack, that they said. And yet there are some rumors now that a couple of individuals at the Midwest Medical Examiners Association in Ramsey, Minnesota, which is in Anoka County, not to be confused with the Ramsey County Medical Examiner, where members of the family now confirm that they were told that he was there, if you will. Now, the morticians in northern Minnesota that conducted the services that were held yesterday, kind of memorial services for Mr. Washington, where they were preparing, and we want to emphasize this to you because it raises questions about the role of the Kandy, Ohio sheriff, which is basically almost 100 miles to the south. Isn't that amazing that a sheriff in another county can dictate what should happen? And what this sheriff clearly dictated was that he thought it was a good idea for the family, in exchange for certain considerations for the family, to quote-unquote cremate the body of Mr. Washington. Man, if they could have cremated Mr. Washington, George Edward Washington, if they could have cremated him yesterday, the sheriff and the county attorney in Kandy, Ohio County would be home free, if you will. They would have been able to challenge the African-American community and any others that raise questions relevant to the death of this gentleman. They would have been able to say that there is outrageous allegations and charges being made. We had nothing to do with the death of this black man. You know, he had been drinking. He was so inebriated, if you will, that he never woke up. But you remember what we said to you earlier, my friends. In this investigative analysis of the death of another black person in a white county here in the state of Minnesota, he spoke to one of his children late Saturday night, not Sunday morning or just before allegedly he was unresponsive, when allegedly on one of those every 15 minutes we looked into the black man's cell. No. On Saturday evening, and it's in the white folks' paper, okay? This is the white folks' paper. We know that whatever white folks write, irrespective of Donald Trump and fake news, that what the white newspaper wrote, quoting the white sheriff in Canty, Ohio County, that clearly that's really what it was. They couldn't even get the time right, my friends. They could not get the time right. They did not remember. And then when they realized that this Caucasian woman who knew Mr. Washington was there at the jail and overheard some conversations after she had been told that Mr. Washington would be coming to the phone and she could talk to him by phone, but she couldn't see him. Now, remember what we said that happened early on, conversation, and then later on, think about it, early on, Mr. Washington talks to a member of his family. He talks in terms that he was a little concerned, but that he was okay. Now, you got to remember, the white deputy, Quinn, told the family, said he blew a 2.0 into the breathalyzer, if you will. My God, man. 2.0? You can't talk. You can absolutely not talk. Yet the family member, who appeared to be a daughter, said that he sounded fine. Now, all conversations, and we would encourage the governor of our state and to order the Bureau of Criminal Apprehension to seize the tape recordings, if you will, of the telephone conversations between Mr. Washington and a member of his family on Saturday evening. A black man who has just been brought in by white sheriff's deputies, who is at 2.0 on the breathalyzer. I mean, my God, you could tell any white expert was, in fact, inebriated. Now, on Sunday and Monday, the 7th and the 8th, this journalist asked and encouraged the family to have them give them a copy of the incident report. I understand, as of this broadcast, that that powerful white sheriff in Canty, Ohio County, said, we don't need to do that. Everything is closed. See, the sheriff, this is terrible, my friends. One has to somewhat laugh in the sense of suppressing the anger. Because even in a broadcast like this, there are things that you as a black person that you want to say about another cover-up, another death of an African-American, if you will. Man, 56 years of age. He lived 56 years of his life to be beaten to death by white deputies in an all-white county in a county jail. But think about this also. Was he awake when you served breakfast at the jail around 7 o'clock in the morning, 8 o'clock in the morning? You were looking in on him every 15 minutes, if you will. What is the protocol at the county jail for those that are on suicide watch and that you are watching and looking in every 15 minutes? Was the 15-minute intervals, was that for them to utilize the ability to come in, beat him some more, if you will, to abuse him and to cause him harm and ultimately death? If you will, if they had been able yesterday, and if not for his brother, God's hand was on this family's shoulder through his brother. If his brother had not threatened and brought an attorney into play, there had been an agreement reached, Sheriff, that the body would be cremated. And Sheriff, you and the rest of your crew up there in Canty, Ohio County would have been home free. You would have carried out, quote unquote, a capital crime. Yes, yes, my friends. As you listen to this broadcast, which I hope that you are doing, you have to wonder what those agonizing hours were up until the time around 12 o'clock or thereabouts on a Sunday. Think about it, my friends, on a Sunday that this man was to pass from this life. Now, it was not us that made this up as a journalist. as an investigative reporter, as a civil rights activist, working with a woman by the name of Angela Edwards, no relationship, but a woman that made her commitment, and Miss Margaret Brooks of Brooks Funeral Home, who the sheriff working closely with Midwest Association of Medical Examiners there in Ramsey, Minnesota, the decisions were made to block every level, if you will. Yet when Joseph Washington on today, my friends, the 17th day of January in the year of our Lord 2018, asked the undertaker, the funeral home in northern Minnesota, to verify what the condition of the body was, though his sister and other members of his family had seen the body, and they said it was not good. It was not good at all. Will there be justice in this situation as we move into the last minutes of tonight's program? I'm not sure. Because I have been a resident of Minnesota since 1945, my friends. I started working on and being involved in my first major civil rights investigation, man, in 1959. And I know what cover-up means in this state, and I know how hard they work at it, and I know that they have all the mechanisms to control. But God bless Joseph Washington, the brother of George Edward Washington. God bless him for standing up. God bless him for making it possible and refusing to allow his brother's body to be cremated, if you will, and making preparations to bring that body to North Carolina before the body is taken to its final resting place in Sumter, South Carolina. That's commitment, my friends. That is love. That is compassion. And that is a commitment in the search for justice for a loved one. In this case, Joseph Washington and his family, if you will, in a search for the truth. Will they receive that from federal authorities and authorities here in the state of Minnesota? I'm not sure. They give you the following. Go back. Those of you that like to work on your computers and et cetera, particularly that live here in our beloved Minnesota, go back and take a look at the article in the January 10th edition of the Minneapolis Star Tribune, and take a look at the article in the January 8th edition of the newspaper in Wilmer, which also is the Wilmer Tribune and Standard or something like that, if you will. The sheriff has spoken. Some say that as his fellow law enforcement officers asked him how things are going with the investigation of the Negro, that's not the word that they used, that died in his jail and et cetera, the sheriff has said, I've got it under control. Because he thought that he had intimidated and cut a deal. George Edward Washington was going to be cremated. And there would never be, as we said minutes ago, there would never be another discussion about what happened. And that if there was a need, maybe slip some money here and there, that's the way that it would be. Oh, this is a dirty situation. It reeks of injustice, my friends. I use that word again. It reeks of injustice. But that's the way you do things here in Minnesota, if you will. As we said earlier in this program, you'd be surprised at how many blacks and Native Americans are found or not found who disappear in this beloved liberal state of ours. But they are members of a family of a man named George Edward Washington, 56 years of age. God bless him. I knew him, you see. I well remembered him many years ago. He had a little trucking firm, if you will. He was a hard-working black man. He did not deserve to die in the manner that he did while in the custody of law enforcement authorities in a county called Canby, Ohio, and in the city of Wilmer. He did not deserve to suffer that kind of death and finality. And yet I say again that I'm afraid that the good sheriff, tough sheriff, as he identifies himself to his homes of boys as they hang out at the VFW and the American Legion up there in Wilma, that we teach them a lesson about coming into our town. Even though Mr. Washington had lived there for a little over a year, people said that people liked him, that he did things. He was a great mechanic. He knew how to work on things and et cetera. Some people say that they cannot understand what happened. But the documentation that this sheriff said would be forthcoming as soon as the autopsy was done, the autopsy was done last Tuesday night, a week ago, okay, 8 days ago, the autopsy was done. The manner of death was done. And yet, after securing the body of a loved one, Joseph Washington, his brother in North Carolina, still doesn't have the necessary documentation to say what was the cause of his brother's death. Of course, see, the sheriff and the county attorney and others in Kandy, Ohio County recognize what has happened, that what they thought they had is an absolute being that the body would be cremated. A well-crafted plan, a well-crafted cover-up, a well-crafted murder. Another black person dies at the hands of the system of justice. And in my state, those in leadership positions and roles turn and look the other way. Talk about the Super Bowl. Talk about partying. Talk about getting drunk. I would like to say to you tonight on this radio program, going out across the world, that there has been an outcry, an uprising, and people are demanding to know, but other than Joseph Washington and his sisters and brothers, if you will, the heirs of George Edward Washington, everybody quiet here, man. As we wrap up on this program, we appreciate those of you that have stayed with us for this hour as we have done a follow-up to our broadcast of last week. We knew, actually, last week, but we hoped otherwise that these things would not happen. Mr. Washington would be the benefactor of justice. But this is Minnesota, and we repeat again what the big sheriff has said. We teach them. We don't want them in our county, and we don't want them in our town, and we know what to do to them. And primarily, his history has been, he's talking about black folks and Native Americans. In closing, all that I can say, God bless America. For those of you out there that have the compassion and et cetera, say a prayer for the Washington family. But if you're black and you're in Minnesota, prayer for yourself. God bless you. I'm Ron Edwards, and this is the Ron and Don Program. Good night, America.